Yes, sir. We are back with another episode of Calling It Podcast, and we're going to go over what happened this weekend and this great weekend of sports. And this weekend, I want to start with college football. So this past weekend, you know, it was a crazy upset. Iowa, like I told you guys, I said, I think it'll be harder for Iowa to make it and continue being undefeated in the Big Ten going into this playoff run. But I didn't think they would lose to Purdue, though. Purdue? Man, you know, like who would have thought they would have lost to Purdue 24-7? They didn't even get off two scores. And then there was that defense, you know, and they gave up 24 points. So that's really crazy to see what's going to happen there with that, you know, guys. And then also just going over a lot of things, you know, my Nebraska prediction was wrong, you know, freaking Nebraska. You know, as soon as you say we think y'all gonna win, y'all lose. You know, y'all been playing, they played pretty good. You know, they did start off slow like I thought they would. They started off slow. I thought they would be able to come back later on in the game, but they still kept it pretty close, losing by one score, a touchdown, kept it within seven. So tough loss for Nebraska, big win for Minnesota. A lot of things went on as well. Oregon keeps their, you know, playoffs hopes alive. You know, they won in a close game against California, 24-17. Michigan State won a close game against Indiana, 20-15. Oklahoma State is still undefeated. Oklahoma is still doing pretty good. You know, Spencer Rattler is not the starting quarterback still. So, you know, Oklahoma, and it looks like Oklahoma really is rolling right now, you know, and especially going into the top 10 rankings right now. And the top 10 has changed. Like I said, Alabama has found their way back in the top 10. Like I said last week. Now, see, we got Georgia at number one, 7-0. Cincinnati at number two. You got Oklahoma at number three and Alabama at four. Now, with that Iowa loss, they done moved down. Like, y'all, it's bad for Iowa and Iowa fans right now. I don't see. They have it. Now, they have to win. Now, whoever wins the Big Ten champion, they probably might be able to slide into the championship. I mean, into the playoffs, you know, just because, you know, the Big Ten is pretty good right now. Like, a lot of teams in this top 10, even out of the top 10, are mostly Big Ten teams, and these teams are good. So going back down after four in Alabama, you have number five, Ohio State, Big Ten. Michigan undefeated, Big Ten. Penn State at 5-1 and number seven in the Big Ten. You also have Oklahoma State. They're Big 12. They're undefeated at 6-0. Michigan State, Big Ten, 7-0. And you have Oregon coming out the Pac 12, and they're still 5-1. So, and you have, I see, like I said, Iowa's not even in the top 10. Iowa is number 11 at 6-1. So, college football is going to get real interesting, like I said before, in the next couple of weeks going forward, you know, because then we're going to get that Alabama and Georgia matchup. I believe if Georgia beats Alabama, I do believe Alabama will not be in this playoffs. I feel like they will probably drop down to about at least somewhere around 9 or 10. I don't ever see them dropping Alabama lower than that. I will say, though, in the next couple of weeks going forward, we will see Michigan and Ohio State play. So that would be one of the games to see. And I can't wait to see who we'll see in this Big Ten championship now that Iowa has went down. So that would be interesting to see. Now we want to move on from college football with that. You know, I want to go to the NFL from yesterday. Now the NFL had a lot of games, you know, just like they always do, NFL Sunday, of course, you know, but it was a couple good blowouts, couple good games, you know. It was all around, you know, pretty good Sunday for NFL. You know, the Chiefs rally in a tough game against Washington, you know, and they beat them pretty bad, 31-13, you know. The score doesn't – the game was closer than what it was throughout the game. The Chiefs came in the fourth quarter and really took over and then did what the Chiefs do, found that offense clicking. And I can honestly say their defense is starting to look like they're turning around, but they have a lot more work to do on the defensive side. The Colts won against the Texans, like I said, the other week. I didn't say they were going to win. I didn't predict that, but I did say that this would be a game that they could look to turn around for their season right here. The Texans, they had a couple, you know, hard, tough games, you know, the first couple of games of the season. So I feel like the Texans is a game that you can look to start to, you know, plan for the future, start to, you know, start that rally, you know, to get some wins up under your record. Start with the Texans. So keep going. Joe Burrow lit up the Detroit Lions. Sorry about that. The Detroit Lions. You know, Joe Burrow, it was pretty bad. You know, the final score was 34-11. We all know what Joe Burrow does. He has a great receiving core, good veteran running back in Joe Mixon. You know, Ja'Marr Chase is a strong candidate for offensive rookie of the year. He didn't score, but he still had four receptions for about 90-some yards. So he's still doing his thing. You have T. Higgins out of Clemson. He's a great receiver. They have all-around good players on that offense for Joe Burrow and the Bengals right now. So they're looking pretty good in that division. Also, the Raiders stomped the Broncos. That was pretty surprising to me myself as well. I thought it would be a little bit closer games, especially since the Raiders just fired John Gruden. I thought that, you know, but seeing that, it looks like they rallied pretty good around that. You know, whoever the assistant coach was who stepped up for John Gruden, I will have that for you guys in the next episode. But you know, that was a pretty good game for the Raiders. They came out, they did their thing. The Giants lost. We lost. Yes, Giants is my favorite team. We lost real bad to the Rams. Don't need to talk about that no more because we got destroyed. So moving on from there. Out of my predictions, you know, for the week that I had on the Friday night prediction show, I had predicted for the NFL upsets, the Bears we're going to win. I predicted the Jags were going to win, and I predicted the Vikings were going to win. I went 2-for-3. Not too bad on the NFL, you know. Better than not getting them, you know, better than getting them all wrong. So, hey, you know, the Vikings won. They beat the Panthers. And I figured the reason why I figured they would beat the Panthers is because the Panthers don't have Christian McCaffrey. And also the Vikings are starting to look like that defense they had a couple of years ago. Like all those players are getting healthy, you know. So it looks like, you know, the Vikings going to be a threat to, you know, Also, you have to look at the offense as well. Kirk Cousins really isn't, you know, the ideal quarterback for me. I think that really fits in that system, but he does his job well enough to get them the wins, and I thought he was going to do a good enough job. You know, you have Justin Jefferson, you know, out of LSU, one of the great receiver, and you also have, I'm having a brain fart right now. What's that guy's name? Adam Thielen. I don't know how I could forget Adam Thielen's name. You know, Adam Thielen started off, you know, was up there with Cooper Kupp and leading touchdowns at the beginning of the season. You know, Adam Thielen is a star receiver, you know, for that team until Justin Jefferson came, you know, back when they had Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. You know, now Justin Jefferson fit that void, you know, when Stephon Diggs left to Buffalo. So yeah, I really did like the Vikings in that pick right there. And the Jags broke their 20-game win streak. I like how I caught that one. I told you guys, Jags was going to win that one. I thought they would win that one, especially after all of that controversy with Urban Meyer and everything. I feel like that did play something with it because, you know, as a coach, after you do that, you have to prove yourself now because you're on thin ice. You know, you got hot water. How do you shush the critics? You win games. That's exactly what he did. He won the game. You know, so that was a pretty tough game, you know, against the Miami Dolphins. You know, Tua came back from his rib injury from a couple weeks ago. And on Friday, I said I need to see how he looks, so that's why I didn't pick him. And, you know, he looked pretty good. I can't lie. He looked like he was all right, you know. I couldn't blame him. Defense really gave up the game for him. They were leading the game, you know. So, you know, he looked pretty good. But congratulations to the Jags. You know, Trevor Lawrence got his first win in the NFL. It was a pretty good game, you know. I liked it, that one. The Bears lost. That's the one I got wrong. See, the Bears started off strong. They scored the first touchdown. And then after that, it just seemed like they figured them out off that first touchdown drive that they scored. It just seemed like the Packers just figured out their game plan and was able to hold them to where they could take the lead and advance the lead to where it was no way they could come back. They ran out the clock a lot. You know, Justin Fields did score again, not just the one touchdown, but it was a pretty, I wouldn't say good game. It was a decent game. You know, Aaron Rodgers did his thing. He ran into the, you know, he even had a rushing touchdown in the end zone. So Aaron Rodgers was pretty hyped for that. You know, you could see him doing this discount double check dance, you know, you guys back when he won a Super Bowl commercial, you know, look that up if you haven't seen it, but you know, he was doing all this thing, talking his stuff. You know, the Packers look real strong right now. So we're gonna keep them on notice right now. We got them on watch because week one they looked it real bad. I'm talking real bad, and ever since then they've been rolling. So we're going to keep an eye out on that. And you know, those were some of the quick games, you know, that were pretty good and lopsided, you know, or blowouts or either or. Now here's some of the games that I really want to talk about. Like, I really want to put emphasis on that really stood out to me the most yesterday watching it. Chargers at Ravens. I mean, the Chargers at the Ravens. So the Chargers, they only 6 points, guys. You know, I just can't believe that. They only scored 6 points. You know, like, all the, it's just still, I just can't put words into it. Like, they only scored 6 points. And it was a touchdown, and they missed the field goal. I just can't, it just annoys me how much people miss field goals in this league. And you're a professional. It doesn't even like it's like a 50-yard. You missing an extra point. That's free money right there, the extra point. If it's not blocked, that should be easy money. You have one job, sir. One job. That's all we need you to do is just make the extra point for us. And they didn't even, you couldn't even do that. But you got to give credit to the Ravens defense. They were all over the place. They were really pressuring Herbert. They really stopped the run early, which forced them to really not even attempt to run. You know, Austin Ekeler from the Chargers only has 6 carries, you know, and that's unlikely for the Chargers to not give the ball to Austin Ekeler like that, because he's really a dynamic playmaker, you know, kind of a Christian McCaffrey type back, you know, but just not as good. But he's kind of has those same type of calibers, like of a player, you know. Austin Ekeler really can, you know, catch in space, run up and down, in and outside the guards and the tackles. You know, he's a pretty good running back for the Chargers, and they really didn't utilize him a lot this game. He only had 6 carries for 7 yards. And, I mean, Herbert, he threw 22 for 39 for about, what is it right here, 195 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. You know, that just seems like the Ravens really used what their game plan was, and we're going to run the ball, we're going to drain the clock, we're going to really put it on you, put it on defense. You know, I'm going to say, we're wear and tear, wear you down, you know, and that's really what they did. They played their game, you know, and everybody thought, you know, with the injuries with J.K. Dobbins, they were starting to run it back and everything, then trading away Mark Ingram, you know, to the Texans. Well, not really trading him away, but releasing him, you know, for cap space and money issues and stuff. So they released him. He now plays for the Texans. You know, they really thought, a lot of people really thought that, you know, their running game wouldn't be as elite, you know, or as efficient as it was before. And I can honestly say with the pickups they did in free agency, you know, due to those injuries and not having a back, they picked up some pretty good veteran backs, you know, and behind that offensive line and with that running game that the Ravens have, plugging in and out those backs, they did pretty good. Like, I can honestly say, I mean, they had 3 running backs, you know, Devontae Freeman, former back at the Falcons, Latavius Murray, former backup for Alvin Kamara at the Saints. And we all know Le'Veon Bell. You know what I'm saying? So all 3 of them combined for 115 rushing yards with 3 TDs. All 3 of them, you know. So, you know, came out and really start and really do that for themselves anymore. But with all 3 in a rushing attack like that, each of them got a touchdown. All of them racked up a touchdown. So that's just how you know that running game is efficient. They was running the ball down their throats. And, yeah. I like that from the Ravens. The Ravens is looking real strong, like a Super Bowl. Like, and they did get Rashawn Bateman back this game, their rookie that they drafted this year. I mean, he had 4 catches for about 30, 40-some yards, you know. But honestly, you know, that was a pretty good game for him. I kept an eye out for him, you know, because I wanted to see how he was going to do. He dropped a pass that led into an interception. But, hey, first game in the league, you know, he was hurt, like a little hamstring injury at the beginning of the season in training camp. But just wait till he gets into the offense, and I think we're going to see some bigger plays by the Ravens. Big, long touchdown plays. He's a big body that can run. You still got Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, big tight end. That's Lamar's real. He loved that target, that tight end right there, Mark Andrews. So, yeah, look out for them. They look like the Ravens is rolling now, and they still got that win over the Chiefs as well. Yes, they do. So, I'm telling y'all, they are a threat, and that's what no running back. The running back that they had was hurt. Come on now, guys. I'm telling y'all, they got 3 running backs that they can put pick and plug into that offense, and it will be deadly this year. I'm telling y'all, watch out for it. But I do think the Chargers will rally off of this L. I think they will regroup and be better next week. And we'll get into that this Friday and who they're going to play so and break that down. Moving on to the Dallas Cowboys and the Patriots. Now, Kego was telling y'all that he had the Patriots, and I'm telling y'all that was a close game, and they had it. The Patriots had that game, I'm telling y'all. But, oop, notification. Okay, okay, the Giants, we got us a linebacker. We got us a nice little linebacker, but that's not going to help us at all. That's not going to help us at all, because that's because Blake Martinez got hurt. So, but yeah, that's not going to help us at all. If y'all want to know who it is, so y'all don't think I'm bluffing. His name is, his name is Bernardrick McKinnon. Oh, I butchered that name, Bernardrick McKinnon. But anyway, moving on. You know, moving on back to the Dallas and the Patriots game, like Eagle was saying, that game was close. Bill Belichick did plan a good game plan for this game. He stopped Ezekiel Elliott under the run. He did not have 100 yards rushing this game. He only had 69 rushing yards with 17 carries. So Zeke was, he was held down because Zeke been having a lot of big rushing yards these past couple games. So they stopped the run. Dak did throw for 445 yards, 3 TDs and 1 INT. The game did go into overtime. So we're going to put that into factor. It was a good game. You know, at one point, it looked like the Patriots had the game won because the defense stopped them. And then what happened? Like Kego said, if you can throw away from Trevon Diggs, you would have the game won. And as soon as you just needed a little first down to seal the deal, a quick slant right over the middle, Trevon Diggs jumped it. Boom, took it to the house, pick 6. Like, this kid has an interception a game. Like, this, he's right now, he's playing like he's the best corner in the league. And that's just hands down right now. He's locked down. Even the lockdown corners, they not doing this, man. Like, even though y'all can probably say, oh, he got burnt the next play. Because they had, like, a 75-yard touchdown. Very true. But it wasn't him getting burnt. That was the coverage that got beat. Because if you see, he was under the man, and then the safety came over top. The ball was just a great throw by Mac Jones, especially by Mac Jones. I mean, he threw for 229 yards with 2 TDs, 1 interception. He threw 15 out of 21. But, that's what I'm saying. Like, just give Mac Jones a couple more. Give him about 2 more years, and we're going to see Mac Jones do big things. I'm telling you. Because that throw he did for that big touchdown that they had at the end of the game to give them the lead of 29-26. I want to say they might have been in, like, a cover 2, or I want to say a high or something like that. Yeah, I don't really know. I got to probably look back and see. But he threw it right in between Trevon Diggs and right in between Trevon Diggs and the safety. Boom. Caught it. Touchdown. Now, that was beautiful. And then, Dak did his thing to get them in field goal range overtime. That was a good game. And then CeeDee Lamb came up big, with that game winning touchdown in overtime. Big touchdown, and then Amari Cooper, what he does on away games and has a silent game. But CeeDee Lamb, I think that's why Jerry had drafted him, because he was like, we need that other star big receiver that can go across from Amari Cooper whenever he has his silent games like he had last night. He only had 5 receptions for 55 yards, But CeeDee had 9 receptions for 149 yards and 2 TDs. And one of the TDs was for game, in it the whole game. So, the Cowboys are something to watch out for. I hate to say it. I'm a Giant fan. I hate to say it, but the Cowboys are something to be reckoned with. Offensively, and defensively, they're no slouches no more. I wouldn't say they're the top defense. I say they have one of the top corners in the league as of right now. But I say their defense is still decent. They're not, they are probably up there for turnovers in the league because of Trevon Diggs himself, but I do believe their defense is decent enough to, have them a good playoff run, especially with the weapons they got. They had dudes out there you didn't even know about, like some dude number one, like Wilson and all them. You're like, man, who is this dude out here mossing people up? You got CeeDee Lamb. You still got Amari Cooper, you know, and it's just they got so many weapons. Zeke, Pollard, and they actually starting to utilize them. It's all starting to click for them, so they looking real dangerous. Also got to talk about how the Cardinals are rolling by everybody that they play. Beat the Browns 37-14. That was a blowout, but I didn't want to bunch it up with the ones that I had talked about earlier because I really want to sit here and look at what Kyler was doing. You know, Kyler Murray was really sophisticatedly breaking down each defense that tries to contain him or rush him or pressure him. He breaks them down, and there's somebody wide open, and he has D-Hop, A.J. Green. He even has like a nice little slot in Christian Kirk. You know, he's about to get Zach Ertz from the Eagles, who was one of the top three tight ends in the league the past couple of years ago. So it's just like he's going to have so many weapons to come. And it's just like, and Tremaine Edmonds, the running back, is starting to come out of age, you know, starting to come into his bag. So it's they looking like they rolling on all cylinders right now. Kyler threw 20 for 30. He threw 20 for 30 in the passing, 299 yards, you know. And it was really crazy though watching the game, you know. It was just like I'm just like I was thinking the whole time that, you know, sooner or later they're gonna find some way to get some pressure. They got Myles Garrett, they got Jadeveon Clowney rushing both sides of the end. They're gonna find something. They might have a little blitz, send something up the middle so they can get the ends one-on-one with the tackles on the outside. But I just didn't really see that, you know. And that offensive line for Kyler Murray, they do a great job of giving him time. Even when he's scrambling, and he doesn't really scramble like Lamar, he kind of like just kind of go side to side with it, trying to extend the plays. And if ain't nothing really there, then we'll see him go for the first down. He won't try to go for the big run play. He'll just, okay, let me go as much as I can to the first out of bounds. And that's why I think he's going to have a good longevity in the league. You know, especially when you have guys like DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green both getting two TDs a game. Like, that's crazy. Like, they call both of his TDs. Like, Kyler Murray had four touchdowns in the game. No interceptions. That is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And everybody thought he wouldn't have been able to do it because of his height. You know, you've never been able to see anything like this a la Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick. You know, they only give you those two examples. Like, there hasn't been other quarterbacks that done things, and one, Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb. But anyway, they don't want to say all of those names too about us black scrambling quarterbacks. I'm not a quarterback, but anyway, we're going to keep it going. Even though Baker still had an all right game in my eyes, you know, Baker threw 19 out of 28, you know, 234 yards, two TDs. He had one interception. Kareem Hunt did his thing all right. It was no Nick Chubb. He had 14 carries for 66 yards. Mind you, the Cardinals do have a pretty good defense. They had a pretty good draft pick in Isaiah Simmons. They did have a great J.J. Watt on the team now, so they got good people in the defense. You know, OBJ was only held to 5 catches for 79 yards, you know. But Peoples Jones out of Penn State been doing his thing lately, you know what I'm saying? 101 yards receiving, 2 TDs, only 4 receptions. He was doing his thing, but it wasn't enough. So, but yeah, I just want to talk about that. It'd be interesting to see. A lot of people had the Browns going to the Super Bowl, the Browns being good, and now they're about 500 right now with an even record. So it'll be real cool to see how they rally after this when they get Jarvis back. Then we'll see how the Browns will be when they're firing at all cylinders. Now, last game I really want to talk about, guys, is how the Steelers stole the game last night against the Seahawks. It was a pretty good game. It was close. You know, I caught myself cheering for Geno Smith, you know, because a lot of people give him a lot of slander for being terrible when you're on a terrible team on the Jets. But really, he's not that bad. I mean, you played for the Jets, so. But, you know, watching Geno Smith, I think he had an all right game. You know, Geno threw 23 out of 32 of his passes. Well, he completed 23 out of 32 of his passes. I got to stop saying that. He completed. So, okay. Yeah. He only had 209 yards, one TD. You know, the Steelers defense, you know, they have a great defense. TJ Watt, you know, a lot of Micah Fitzpatrick, the safety. They got a lot of Devin Bush's back, the linebacker. They got a lot of great pieces on their defense. And I was telling my friends who came over, who was watching the game, I said, I think it'll be close for after a while, but I think TJ going to stop playing with him after a while. And he did. We seen TJ come up with big sacks, game-saving sacks at the end of the game, at the end of, on third down. TJ Watt is a threat to be reckoned with, and he is showing you why he got paid so much money to be on the Steelers. You know, and even Big Ben, he did his thing all right. I mean, he did pretty good, I guess. You know, he completed 29 out of 40 passes for 229 yards with one touchdown. You know, Deontay Johnson is really starting to look like to be like his favorite target. You know, 9 receptions for 71 yards. Now let's see how Deontay does now that teams are going to start game planning around him. You know, getting more receptions than like a Chase Claypool or Eric Ebron and everybody else, especially since Juju got hurt for the whole season. But we'll see. Oh, he looks like he's a pretty good receiver too as well. And Chase Claypool got to get better. He had a lot of penalties, so that's probably why we don't hear too much about him. He had a lot of penalties this past game, so we'll see how he'll rally now next game. Najee Harris did his thing. I say he was the workhorse for this game. 24 carries for 81 yards. Then he has 6 receptions for 46 yards and a touchdown. So right then alone, right there, you got 127 yards all together right there. So yeah, he did his thing. I say he's probably the main reason they won. Great draft pick. You know, first round draft pick for the Steelers. They look like they got their offensive or starting to get their offensive line to click, to work. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. He had a pretty good game rushing last week. So that's what I like to see, you know, especially, you know, for the rookies, you know. I like to see rookies who start, you know, to be successful off rip. So that was pretty good. I want to talk about that. Steelers looking like, and plus the Steelers had a lot of criticism, you know, while Big Ben is getting old, he needs to retire. He can't move anymore, can't throw anymore. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is true. It is very true. But I like to see people go against the narrative. So I was rooting for Big Ben as well last night. I wanted to see a good game. It was a good game, 23-20. You know, you can't ask for anything better for that than on Sunday Night Football. So, also, guys, so we want to end the show, you know, with just a couple quick picks. You know, I love to do the quick picks. Hopefully, y'all love the quick picks, too. So, you know what I'm saying? We got NBA coming on tomorrow, starting that off, you know, the regular season. The Nets at the Bucks and the Warriors at the Lakers. Tonight, we have Monday Night Football, Bills versus the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, guys, we got about 3 minutes left. And really, I just kind of got to say, if I want to go for Monday Night Football, we'll start that off first. I would say, since the Bills have been rolling and they're on a roll, they are the favorites. I'm not looking at no bets. I already know they're the favorites. Tennessee just got Julio Jones back. I got Julio on my fantasy. That's all I know. Julio's back and A.J. Brown is back. So they got the 2-star receivers back with a Derrick Henry. I do think the game will be close only because you got Derrick Henry, and if you're Tennessee, you're not going to give Josh Allen that many attempts to throw the ball, so that means you're going to run the clock out as much as you can. You're going to game manage to where your offense is always on the field, and then you're going to try to make it that the Bills' offense is on the field as least as possible. But I still think the Bills will win it. I think the Bills are going to win. I think it'd be pretty close, though. I say they win 27-24 in a close one. I do. 27-24 in a close one. I do see Tennessee scoring at least twice. You know, a Derrick Henry score. I do believe there'll be at least an A.J. Brown score, maybe a miscellaneous fullback score or something like that for Tennessee. I do believe Tennessee will put up some points. You know, a lot of teams haven't been able to put up points on the Bills. The Bills are looking like they're on a historic pace right now, especially how they held Pat Mahomes to that low score that they held him a couple weeks ago. And now I'll be coming into the quick picks that I love so much, Roy, where I got to make a pick before the show ends. And so tomorrow, Nets at Bucks. I'm taking the Nets only because they got a healthy James Harden and everything. They got Kevin Durant, Patty Mills, everybody. And I'm going to take the Nets on that one. I think it'll be a close game. Don't kill me, Milwaukee fans. I still love y'all, but I think y'all gonna get that L tomorrow. I'm also gonna take Lakers and Warriors. I'll take the Lakers. I really want to say the Warriors, but y'all have a good rest of y'all day.